Hey, big attaboy for you guys. Thank you for being on.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, hello. Well, I always start every call with what's on your mind, but I kind of figure what's on your mind, but go ahead and share.
Oi.
Yeah.
Oi,
yeah.
Bay.
Yeah, we've been getting our calls in, that's for sure.
Good. And probably twice as many as normal, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, 6 or 7 days a week, honestly. But
are
that's
you,
all right. No, these are the times your customer needs you the most.
That's right. They don't need you when we've got a bull market for 10 years. Just
yep.
That's easy.
Absolutely.
Anybody working from home?
There are in our office, but not on our team. Well, I shouldn't say that. Brody actually is working from
yeah.
home. Yeah. Brody, you're on?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm from home, though.
Okay, great. Yeah, so Brody's working from home. He has a little one and one on the way.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yep, April.
Wonderful.
He's trying to
wonderful.
Stay healthy before this happens, you know?
Yeah. That's right, bro.
In terms of, have you had a chance to do homework, or where are you guys? What would you like to work on today? We can talk about what you do in a bear market, and, you know, we can talk about a lot of things, but kind of up to you guys. You're Nick.
Yeah. Well, why don't you give us your thoughts on a bear market? That's probably as timely as anything.
Yeah. You know, I've been around 48 years now in the industry, and started in 72, so that gives me some credibility. I went through my first bear market in 73, 74, went from 1,000 to 550, so that's a 50% decline, and I survived. You know, and our clients survived, and we bought stocks, and life was okay. It was traumatic. It took a long time to get back to 1,000, but in the meantime, those that bought stocks made money all the way up. So I would do three things that psychologically people want you to – they want you to reassure them, number one, but number two, they want to do something. There's a sense of, okay, it's a crisis. What do we do? And if you tell them nothing, that doesn't feel as good as we should take some action and move forward. And so what do you do? Well, you know, normally it's November when we talk about tax swaps. But my suggestion is look at positions where you have losses and swap them for positions that you like as much. Whether you go into a different ETF or you go into a different stock, do those stock swaps. I think that makes sense. It helps people to feel as though they've done something. And then if they have losses, they can carry those on forever until they get gains. So number one. Number two is rebalance portfolios. Very painful to do it right now. Seems like a crazy thing to do. But one of the ways you can rebalance is to dollar cost average the rebalancing. So clients don't feel like they're all of a sudden taking a moment in time and trying to be a genius, you know, selling bonds and buying stock. Go ahead and say, we're going to do this over the next 3 months, and we'll rebalance that way because we don't know where the bottom is. But we're going to automatically do it, so hold your nose and take a breath. We're going to do it regardless. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So that I think makes some sense, and that makes them feel like, oh, we're doing something.
Being proactive.
Proactive. Just like our 1242, we're proactive in our activities to help them. The third is take balances that are generated by dividends and reinvest them in equity. You can, you know, we used to be able to reinvest in stocks, the dividends. People don't do that as much anymore, but they have, you know, at this point they might have $20,000 or $30,000 in dividend income. Go ahead and take that money, or if they're not going to need it, they're not going to need it. You've got a nice cash stash. Take that, you know, municipal bond interest and the dividends, and go ahead and dollar cost average that into equities. So you're not going to change their life with this activity. You're just really working around the margins, but you're making them feel better. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not just do nothing. It's, hey, we're going to do something.
Yeah.
The other thing is refinancing. I mean, there's a good side to this, and that is they can save some money. I mean, you may have refinanced their mortgage two times up to now, but now's another chance to do that. I have some loans outstanding that I use to lend to my kids so they can have down payments on houses and things like that. I can refinance some of those at lower prices. You know, all that makes sense. So rather than just sitting and you know, buying toilet paper, I think go ahead and take some initiatives that will save them money on the liability side of their balance sheet and the asset side. They'll make some money. A year from now, they're going to say, thanks for making those calls. Those are smart things that we did.
Yeah, one of the things you had mentioned about, you know, taking losses, you know, some of the companies that we have bought in the past, we still like. In fact, we like even more now because they're cheaper. So
right.
What we're doing is we're adding, you know, a sliver, a piece, you know, to an existing position with the idea that 30 days from now or whenever, you know, we could feasibly maybe sell off the higher priced shares, or maybe not.
Sure.
Maybe end up just keeping the entire position, but doing it that way versus, you know, selling a energy and buying an energy, or we are doing some of that now.
Yeah, it's smart. I mean, I see it as just, you know, for myself personally, I took some fairly significant losses in 2008, and I didn't have to pay capital gains for like 10 years, maybe 8 years. So I felt really good about the things that we did. So however you do it, just know you can turn, you know, a bad situation into one that is pretty good for the next 8 years. So the same value.
Yeah, something else that you said. I was talking to a client earlier today, and I got the impression that he was disappointed that we weren't going to do something.
Yep.
You know, I think he wanted to do something. I got that feeling in talking to him. So what we did is we did do something. You know, something that I think made his portfolio a little bit better, and I think because of being proactive, you know, he felt better,
sure.
You know, at the end of the phone call. So I would agree with that.
Yeah, you know, I used to, you know, people were, would be really, really bearish, and I would say, well, then why don't we short a stock, you know? That'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
And so we'd have a $2 million portfolio, and we'd have, you know, $30,000 short, and all they cared about was the $30,000 that was short.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cheering for that to go down and didn't pay any attention to the hundreds of thousands they were losing on the other side.
Yeah.
So human beings are interesting. You know, you can You can take care of their anxiety by, oh, and by the way, you've never seen somebody become so bullish as a person that watches their short go against them.
Yeah. You know, I can believe that.
Right. They're like, this is the strongest market. Why are we short? I said, well, you told me it was a bear market, you know. So anyway, I've just found that there's a couple of times when you get reassigned a client by some other FA, I always told the guys and gals, it's not really your relationship until they make a transaction with you and take your advice. Until they take your advice, you don't have them as a client. You have them as a placeholder, but they still belong to the other guy until they give you the attaboy to go ahead and do something and take your advice. That was always really good advice, and not just because it came from me, but because it was accurate. And that's what we're really talking about. You're really kind of re-solidifying the relationship during a strenuous time by having them agree to take your advice. And so they like that. They really want a leader. They don't want just a monitor.
Now, what do we do about in-person reviews? I mean, the firm's basically, over the next probably, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, we're having less people come into the office.
Sure.
I mean, just do those same reviews, on a conference call?
Yes, same, exactly.
All right.
If you might want to try some kind of Skype or something that might be more fun for them than just a conference call. It might be, a great way to break into a technology that we haven't bothered to get used to, and that would be kind of fun for them and fun for you. And so, there's a lot of different GoToMeeting, Zoom technology. I don't know which one your firm will allow you to use and which one they won't. But my suggestion is, if you're going to get permission to do something, now's the time.
Yeah, I know some of our FAs are doing that now.
It's Zoom.
I think it's a good idea. I think for those in-person meetings, that's kind of special. You're going to take a little more time, and I think it would be very helpful to them.
Okay.
What else?
Anything else as far as bear market?
No, those are the kind of the rituals that I would preach. Do something, rebalance. This is when you teach clients. This is when you really teach clients asset allocation. They don't really understand asset allocation in a bull market. They understand asset allocation in a bad market. And this is where you reinforce and teach them, why do we have stocks, bonds, and cash? And now's the time to use, to rebalance the other way. And this is perfect, because you got to say to them, look, as hard as it was to sell stocks and buy bonds on the way up, it's just as hard to sell bonds and buy stocks on the way down. But it always is the right thing. Your timing isn't always perfect. It's impossible to do the timing. That's why I say dollar cost average. That makes them feel better. Because the timing, you don't know what the timing is going to be. But when people said sell stocks that are going up, sell some of that Apple and buy bonds, nobody wanted to do that. Nobody.
They do now.
Now they wish they had, see? And so
yeah,
what
that's
you
right.
do, So you use, I would suggest you use this as a training moment and say, hey, this is an example of why you do this. We're going to be together for the next, hopefully, 20 years. We'll probably have two more of these during that time. And this is how we protect you and get you better overall returns. So we're always buying stocks when they're cheap, and we're selling stocks when they're dear. And that's the place you want to be. You know, you don't want to be buying treasuries right now. So that would be the other thing, a training moment. Train them on why rebalancing works.
Okay. All right.
As far as Supernova is concerned, any comments on the 1242 and how it's working and the rituals? It probably was pretty good timing for you guys because you were far enough into it before the last 2 weeks exploded that they saw the benefit and you saw the benefit already, right?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and having, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to have fewer clients, but having fewer clients while you're going through something like this, you can visualize why that would be better. But, you know, we'll get that solved down the road. So the 1242s are going fine. Oh, the other thing is focusing on the financial plan. I probably don't need to tell you this, but where you've done financial planning, when clients panic and want to sell everything, you go back and say, you know, let's go back and review the financial plan. What among your goals in the financial plan has changed? And so you calm them down and get them to understand the structure and the process of planning and why and where their equities fit into that, their bonds, their cash, et cetera, fit into their overall plan and that they're still on track. They may not be on track as much as they were, but they're still on track. And that calms them down. So focusing on planning was always one of my key elements in bear market.
Yeah, we're trying to do a plan for every client. And we have had clients call, you know, just to talk about, you know, because of the market change, to talk about whether or not they're still on track or not. And our planning tool does that very well.
It's great.
So I think everyone needs to have a plan.
Oh, they do, or here's an interesting topic for your planning process: is your cash flow analysis. Cash flow analysis is what you do in order to figure out how much they should be spending, based on their lifestyle and based on their needs, based on the amount of money that they have and their probable longevity. And I always say this, no one, and I say no one, is spending the right amount of money.
Okay.
They're either spending too much or they're spending too little. And you can give them permission to spend more, but you can also rein them in when they're spending too much. So not only just talking about planning, but reviewing cash flow analysis during this time will make them feel better. Meaning we have 1 year of cash. You'll be fine. Or based on your lifestyle, we'll be fine so that this can last 3 or 4 years before we have an issue. And that issue would be we'd have to sell some bonds.
Yep. Okay.
So that can be really reassuring. I'm just making some notes myself. I haven't had to think about this for a long time. What do you do in a bear market?
Yeah.
But that's their issue. Their issue is, will I have enough cash? Will I have enough money to live on? And mostly today. So when they're worried of what they're losing, for the most part, is the money that would have gone to the kids.
Okay.
You know, they're not losing money that they're going to need. The majority.
Yeah.
People that we do business with. So that's very helpful to them. So I think so in your 24-month calendar, I would substitute cash flow analysis for next month. To take and redo the cash flow analysis for each client and make sure you don't have a surprise. You know, you want to know, based on the market going down 30%, is this client spending too much? Or are we going to be okay?
Okay.
All
right? That's a good idea. Yep.
Yeah. And keep in mind also, people in the next 3 months are not going to be spending very much money.
Yeah, everything's closed.
They're not going on that $30,000 cruise.
That's right.
They're home. The only thing they're going to do is buy Netflix and
Disney.
Eat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney, Netflix, and eat. Right.
Yep. Yep.
And read to their kids and teach their kids school. So it'll be an interesting period and not one that we should panic over, I don't think. I think it could be very, you know, for the optimists, they're going to come out of this, as usual, in great shape. For the pessimists, you have to worry a little because they can get really depressed. So the other thing that I would seriously think about is, are any of your clients depressed, and do they maybe need some counseling? Because this can really throw them off. So under your enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals that you rely on, make sure you have a counselor, you know, a psychologist, psychiatrist that you can call on and kind of test your clients. How are you feeling? Because being locked in, basically, can be very depressing for some people.
I can believe that.
All right. So for your team, here's something else. Week number four, we went through Jim Lehrer's book, The Power of Full Engagement. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is really important right now. So in order to have ideal performance state, you remember you had to have ideal recovery state. Well, when you inject enormous amounts of stress into someone's life, you need to understand what it takes to keep them balanced. So what does it take? Proper amount of sleep, 8 hours of sleep, proper amount of exercise, and proper diet. Now, let me emphasize a couple of things here. My suggestion would be people are not going to sleep like they normally sleep. They're going to wake up and be worried. How do you manage that? Exercise. So if a person normally exercises a half an hour, get them to exercise an hour. Double the exercise time. Don't have it. A lot of people get under stress and they stop exercising. Absolutely the worst thing you can do. Double your exercise time. The other thing they do is they start drinking and abusing their diet, eating too much. do the opposite. Make sure you're eating right, feeding your body properly. And they don't sleep. And so instead of 8 hours of sleep, they get 3 hours of sleep, and then they're a mess. So exercise will give them the proper amount of recovery for their body, for their cells, and they're going to be more able to defend against immunity. Their immune system will be stronger with the proper amount of sleep. Worrying kicks off cortisol, which is the opposite of what you want, and will make your immune system depressed. So cutting down on sugar and things that aren't great for you will better prepare you to handle an immune system problem, which is what the coronavirus is. So I just kind of want to emphasize that if you want to help your family, have them read Jim Blair's book, The Power of Full Engagement. Very important during times of stress.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's my speech for the bear markets.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it.
All right. Good. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.